Walter's in the house.
It's one of those premium episodes.
Yeah. You hear that? Wait a minute.
Hear what?
You don't hear that?
Reunited. Double LP, world excited. Struck a match to the underground. Industry ignited from metaphorical parables to fertilize the earth. Wicked niggas come, trying to burglarize the turf. Scatting off soft ass beats, them niggas rap happily.
Well, welcome to the show. Welcome back, should I say.
Yeah, well, thank you. I always like to return.
Stay with me. Are you listening?
Yeah, what's
there
up?
You are.
How are you?
It was an adventure trying to get you here, huh?
I mean, for this one, yeah, it's just, you know,
middle
I guess,
of the day.
Yeah, you're not trying. Well, I'm off today, so it's not middle of the day for me. When you work retail, weekends happen in the middle of the week.
Well, welcome everyone to the show. This is American Riddle. This is Malcolm Riddle, and I got my main man back for the kill,
Brandon Alter.
That's right. Glad you could make it. I just pulled up. I was looking for parking too, and it was a hell of a thing because. I pulled up to this lady, and she was clearly getting ready to leave. You know when they do the move, and they're sitting there, and they'll prolong the
park? if they see you, I think there's that study that says, like, they will wait longer if they see you.
So she was coming.
Because people are naturally just assholes or something. I don't know exactly.
So she was coming out of the yogurt place, and she just bought a yogurt. I don't know what flavor.
Okay. Was she eating it while she was trying to get out?
Yeah, so she stayed. She turned her lights on, put her seatbelt on, and she saw I was waiting. So she just sat there and ate her yogurt. And she was still even when I waited. I even was pretending I was talking on the phone to make it look like I was.
Yeah, you gotta hide because like they will leave more quickly if they think nobody's waiting. But as soon as they see it, they're like, oh.
Yeah, she sat there and proceeded to keep eating, and even turned her lights off. Maybe the yogurt was that good.
Like Speedy Gonzalez is like slow cousin.
Fucking
Slowpoke Gonzalez.
I tell you. And then another obstacle that I had being that the listeners probably pick up that we're outside broadcasting. I was over there by the park, and there were jackhammers going off and water fountains going off.
It's a lot of construction in this area, in all northern Virginia areas.
So I found this little quiet spot next to the food truck or the workman's truck.
We actually did an episode here a while ago.
Yep. That's true. So what's been up in your world?
Oh, not a whole lot. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to get to too many movies.
Yeah, tried to get you out a few times.
Can't get to Blue Jasmine or see a lot of the other ones I want to see. World doesn't seem to be playing in many places anymore either.
It's at the Cinema Arts Theater.
Oh, is that Cinema? I saw it was at East Street.
You should go today.
Okay.
It's right in this
backyard. I'm going to try it again.
Yeah, it's...
Well, I mean, it's in Fairfax, but yeah, it's like, on my way back, it would actually be on my way home.
It's one of my favorites that I've seen in recent history.
I mean...
But you saw the, what was the one? The Grandmaster.
I saw the Grandmaster, and that was a very important one for me, at least. I don't know about you. I needed that to be good.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it was just as important for me, no doubt.
So, yeah, directed by Wong Kar-wai. I don't know if you know about him or knew about him before this film.
I didn't.
Did you?
No, you mentioned him in passing, said that what type of director, but please tell us.
So he's probably one of my favorite current Chinese directors, but maybe just directors overall now. He's so good. The first one that I saw that he did was Chungking Express, which I think is kind of big. I don't know how many people saw it around.
Chungking Express.
But any film nerds usually get into that one.
I think I ate there the other day.
The Chungking Express. It's It reminds me a lot of the old Jackie Chan police story movies that he did in Hong Kong. This is basically another Hong Kong kind of cop movie, but it's like this ethereal love affair between these two cops, and it's very weird, and there's lots of imagery, and it's painted kind of beautifully.
Yeah, his the thing that I noticed about his film in The Grandmaster, it was very artistic. It took a very artistic approach. Sometimes nothing was even said.
Very much his style.
Yeah, I love that style. Because sometimes less is more, especially... You know, with a lot of films, I mean, you don't have to have it riddled with dialogue just to get your point across. Sometimes the best things are left unsaid, and just looking at someone's eyes or their body language says it all. And the color, the cinematography, are all his films like that?
I was actually trying to remember the second film that I saw of his that came out in like 2000, but I can't remember the exact name of it.
Well, you got the iPhone 5S.
Yeah, I'm trying to look it up right now. But yeah, the thing's
supposed to be super fast.
It's fast. It's just the thumbprint. It doesn't work all the time.
I heard they're putting other prints on there. People are like
cat
exploring.
Prints and shit, yeah.
Yeah, cat prints.
Weird shit.
Cock prints and all sorts of stuff.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, Corolla was talking about it today.
I wasn't doing that one. Well, maybe I was. I'm like,
he was talking
okay.
about it.
There we go. Okay, In the Mood for Love. I knew it had love in the title, but I was going to say, like,
love.
Oh, there
it doesn't
is
sound
love.
Like a kung fu flick.
It is not. He doesn't do kung fu flicks until now. I don't think I'd said that before. Yeah, the first movie he did was just, like, sort of a cop drama love movie. It was romantic. It was a romantic movie. You bring a date to that movie. And if she likes movies with subtitles.
Gotcha.
Very weird kind of paintings. No. So In the Mood for Love was even kind of weirder. It was a very sort of, like, lots of jump cuts, lots of weird sort of, like, cinematography. And it was a straight-up romantic movie, like, about these two lovers kind of having a hard time. And then his third movie, which is sort of like a, like, people called it, like, a spiritual successor to In the Mood for Love. It was 2046. And this one was another romantic movie, but this took a sci-fi turn where there was this train that could travel through time. Like, if you got on it and it went to this... the movie's called 2046.
You've already got me there.
The movie's called 2046, and it's about a train that travels the year 2046. But at the same time, it's sort of like these people have memories that they've lost, mm-hmm. and they're trying to regain them, and somehow going into the future can make these people remember the past. Very heady, like completely in his style. And Grandmaster is a very good example of just sort of where he's going. Like he's it's a lot more linear now. He's telling an actual, like, not as confusing a story, but it's still like very cool and fun to, you know, I don't know. I dug it, and it was about Ip Man. You just can't go wrong with that story in Grandmaster.
No, there's been a lot of films on Ip Man.
Yeah, the big ones were the Hong Kong ones that were coming out.
One and two,
and I think a third one's supposed to be coming out soon, too.
You can stop right
yeah.
there.
Yeah, you don't need... I mean, the thing is, you could just have a bunch of directors keep retelling it, sort of like Zatoichi, the Blind Samurai. I love when, like, the Asian directors take that and make a new one.
I don't mind it. I mean, like I said, I enjoyed The Grandmaster, especially the way they wrapped it up at the end. You know, they had a little Bruce Lee in there because he was... His claim to fame is...
Yeah, trained by Ip Man, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, in real life, was he, you know, some kick-ass, you know, street fighter or anything like that?
Ip Man?
Yeah.
See, I don't know. I know more about Bruce Lee and how he sort of kind of made his own style.
He combined everything.
Yeah, he made, like, Jeet Kune Do and everything, but I don't know enough about Ip Man in real life. Honestly, all I know is from the super, like, goofy ones from Hong Kong, the Ip Man movies, and then this one. So
they make him out to be a bad motherfucker.
I mean, even damn. When he's old.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was an old man.
He's about your size, and he's just whooping ass.
Yeah.
Taking names later. Maybe you got some juice like that in you, huh?
Yeah. Did you ever see Karate Kid with Jackie Chan? The new one?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
I was against it. Firmly against it in the beginning.
When they went up that mountain in that one scene, like, that dude reminded me of Ip Man.
Yeah, I was against it, and then when I saw the film, yeah, I loved it. they did a great job, and I think it was, a wonderful nod at the original, and still making the remake its own.
One of my friends always said it should have been called The Kung Fu Kid, because that fit it more. He didn't. I mean, why was it called Karate Kid? In no way did this have anything to do with karate. It was very weird.
Yeah, Jackie Chan, and then I guess that role was played by...
Will Smith's son. It was essentially a vehicle for his son, which is why
original,
people didn't want it.
It was played by... What was the guy's name? Pat... What was the guy's
what?
Name?
What? Ralph Macchio.
Ralph Macchio. No, but the trainer.
Oh,
Jesus.
Man, I thought you were talking about the kids, though.
I'm talking about the master, the train. Right. We got the master is what counts. The guy.
Oh
that,
my God! Yeah,
the guy that gives you the juice is what counts.
Arnold,
you know
man.
What, I mean? What was his
Arnold.
Name? Let's look that up. How's your super fast phone? You got to put a print on it every time you look it up.
No. You do the. I always did the password, so it's not. It's actually still quicker than when I did the password. But I got to change my thumbs or something because my one thumb apparently doesn't have a good enough print.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know what the hell's wrong with it. It's got, like, dry skin on it, so it doesn't work.
Pat Morita was the trainer. He was awesome.
Yeah. And they gave, I mean, like, in those two movies, they gave them pretty similar sort of backgrounds. Like, in Pat Morita's case, like, his wife was in an internment camp and, like, died, I guess.
But all truth be told, as good as Pat Morita was, like, we know, we have enough history on Jackie Chan to know he's got tactics. He's got skills for days. Never really thought of Pat Morita as, you know, the Kung Fu champion, a grandmaster.
Well, I don't think he wasn't. I mean, I don't. As far as I know, Jackie like Chan, in real life, Pat Morita didn't know shit.
Yeah, my point is Jackie Chan's got street cred. So going into it at this time, I was like, well, we got Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
But I didn't know how Jaden Smith, he wasn't really tested.
I kind of wish there was another Kung Fu Kid too. I would have liked that.
I think they're supposed to make
one. He's changed so much. He's so much taller than he was in the first movie.
Well, he's growing.
I know. He was a young boy. Tyke. Yeah.
But that's also a good testament of what's going on in film as far as remakes. Because for a while I was against it. But then I kind of liked the whole retelling of a story.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it before. Like, it's actors on a stage, like, you know, you have different directors do another take on a Shakespeare or another take on, you know.
As long as it's done right.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree.
Much like Old Boy coming out.
Yeah. Now, I've been a kind of a very anti-Spike Lee for a while, just in the same way that I was, like, anti-Tarantino. Like, I thought they were really good, and then they were terrible.
Yeah, what didn't you like?
Well, I didn't like... God, was it the 25th Hour or whatever? The Ed Norton film?
I liked
that
one.
You did like that?
That was the one with the dog?
Yeah.
I liked that. In the car?
That was the first like time I was like, maybe Spike Lee is just not as good as I thought. Because I just didn't dig it. And I was pretty young when that came out.
I like when Spike Lee kind of goes off, he kind of veers off the do the right thing, you know.
That's what I want him to do, though. I want him to tackle the crazy shit.
He did Inside Man with Clive Owen that was phenomenal.
Right, and he can do
Denzel Washington.
He should be able to branch out and do stuff that's not like, you know, black cinema. He should be able to do whatever cinema he wants to do. I agree.
It should be all cinema, though.
Yeah,
you shouldn't break it down to.
And I agree.
Cinema.
My only issue was that when he did that stuff, I don't know exactly where his head was, but I thought that was amazing. It was gritty. A lot of that stuff was really, really good. But when I saw the trailer for Old Boy, I sort of took back a lot of that because it looks like the most solid remake of like one of those Chinese films I've ever seen.
Yeah, Old Boy. Have you seen the original?
Oh, yeah. I've seen, like, one and two, man.
Well, the original was playing on Netflix, and I got a chance to watch about a quarter of it.
And it was, wait, not a, it was a Korean movie, wasn't it?
Korean, yeah.
I think I said Chinese or something. I meant Korean.
And one of the things that I enjoy about, well, I've become a big fan of Korean cinema in a whole. Just because,
they're good.
Oh, man, they're amazing.
They know how to, like, they distill it. They don't give you all this stuff that's not necessary. It's very... right there, like, concise kind of stories.
Well, again, I want to see Spike Lee's version take on it. I started watching a little bit of Old Boy recently, and I'm gonna try to finish it up tonight, but I was pulled in.
Yeah,
I mean, just their storytelling is epic on many layers when I watch it, and I can see why American filmmakers are starting to pick, you know, from that patch. Because there's some juicy melons lined up.
They make some good cinema. Just like we, you know, I mean, like, Asian cinema in general is just a great place for American directors
Scorsese
to steal
did.
From,
Scorsese,
man. Yeah.
Scorsese took...
The Departed.
Inferno.
Yeah.
Was it? What's it called?
Was it? Well, The Departed was what he made.
Infernal
I don't remember.
Affairs,
the,
I think that's what it was called. And he made... Scorsese made... The Departed.
Do you remember at the Oscars when they introduced the movie? Because I think it won... I guess he won Best Director for that. And they said it was a Japanese film.
Mm.
Yeah, a lot of people sort of cringed during that.
Why?
It's Chinese.
Is it?
It was a Chinese film, yeah. It was like, I think it was Hong Kong. And they announced it. I was like,
yeah, it is. Oh,
what's the difference? Japanese, Chinese, doesn't matter.
They didn't say that.
But it was sort of like, you know, get your shit right. You're the Oscars.
Yeah, because I believe Infernal Affairs is like a three-part story.
Yeah.
I think it's like a trilogy. I don't know if they're going to do... I know there was rumor about them doing a sequel.
I've never seen them. I always wanted to. I never really saw the originals, though.
The Departed fucked me up when I saw it.
Did
it? Yeah, it fucked me up.
Did you do a lot of the quotes from the movie?
No, I don't do that with movies.
You know what I mean?
That's
a quotable movie, though. Mark Wahlberg says a lot of good stuff.
I've seen so many movies lately that I just can't really keep them chambered like that. There are some people that can. I watch them, I enjoy them, then I move on. Sometimes I go back and revisit them. But The Departed, I haven't watched. I think I may have seen it twice, but that's about it. I mean,
yeah.
it's something that's just hardcore. You know, it hits you in the gut in so
one
many
of those,
ways.
It's like watching a movie like that is almost like work. It's like I got to sit down in the right state of mind.
Jack Nicholson, DiCaprio was phenomenal in it.
Yeah, well, I mean, like DiCaprio is like the muse now.
Matt Damon.
Yeah,
yeah, for Scorsese.
Yeah,
yeah, it's his new De Niro.
Yeah, he goes from the days.
Yeah,
but with
Old Boy, I was taking note because I knew I was going to talk with you about it.
Yeah,
so I was like, oh well, let me try to watch some of this film at work and. So I put
it's
it
a
on.
Violent film.
Yeah, I put it on and I was comparing it to the trailer, and it's almost as if the foreign films are basically giving a perfect blueprint, almost a template to make a great film. Now, would you think that's cheating?
I saw it as like a license to just go fucking crazy. And I think a lot of directors sort of did that, even without just straight up stealing. Whenever you make like sort of an like homage to something,
so
like,
you wouldn't consider it hacky for someone to really.
It's more like now this director suddenly decided that he can put this kind of style in his repertoire. Yeah,
it's a retelling, but yeah. it's looks so much like the original. It's uncanny.
I don't see a problem with that, honestly.
No, I don't either, because I watched the trailer and. It gets me pumped up. That's why when I get home, I'm gonna put Old Boy in and finish it tonight.
I mean,
then I'm just even because it's
an amazing
story.
Josh
Brolin is the lead.
Well, I mean, like I'm not the big. I mean,
I love
Josh Brolin. Does a lot of stuff that I want to be good, and it's never good. Like Jonah Hex, I really wanted to be good.
Yeah, but that's comic, man.
Whoa, man! That doesn't mean anything.
He
was really good.
Yeah.
In W.
He was, if you want to talk comic, he was great in MIB.
Yeah, that was good. That was pretty good.
Yeah, he was great in that. And, I mean, I don't have his IMDb up, but what else was he Brolin in? I think
he was just in that gangster movie that was really stupid.
Oh, yeah, that was. It was kind of corny, but he was good in it.
It was fun, but it was like, God, this is just, I mean, like, you can't really compare it to any good movies out there. It just wasn't up to anybody's standards. A lot of stupid lines. But what was it Gangster Squad or something?
Yeah, it looked good. It had a good feel. It was just popcorn fun.
Yeah, everybody's was, like greased hair, and they all acted super cartoony.
And it was loosely based on Mickey Cohen. It wasn't a lot of it wasn't factual. I mean, that era. I'm a big fan of
you know what I would do
of L.A. Set in what was that set in the 40s?
Yeah, during Prohibition.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it was during Prohibition. I thought it was longer ago than that. It wasn't
40s.
Like the 20s. Oh, okay.
Nah, 20s is early. I think it was like the
40s. You know, I would make a gangster movie about the Valentine's
Bugsy
Day.
Because Bugsy Siegel.
Remember that?
Huh?
Valentine's Day Massacre.
St. Valentine. No, that was a...
That would be a good one.
That was a 20. That was
I would
the
love,
Al Capone.
Well, yeah, that would be one of like my favorite... Like, I wish people would do more like stuff around that time.
That is a subject that I never get tired of. Just mafia, mob, that whole era, the roaring 20s, Chicago, New York, the formation of the five families, all that
shit's,
stuff.
Shit's real.
I followed it for years.
Going from Brooklyn to Chicago, man.
Mm-hmm. Well, back on Old Boy, Josh Brolin, I took some notes. So Josh Brolin actually is playing the character that was played in the original by a guy named Menseek Chow, I believe, or Cho. I'm sure I'm tearing his name
up. I don't speak Korean. I wouldn't be able to tell you.
But he was in a film that I loved called I Saw the Devil.
Hmm.
Oh, man.
Another Korean film?
Yeah, you need to watch this. It's very disturbing. It's about a guy whose wife gets raped and murdered by Menseek. And the husband goes off. He's a cop, and he goes off and just takes matters into his own hands.
Yeah,
and hunts this guy down. And instead of killing him, he just tortures the fuck out of him. I mean, it is the whole movie is basically a torture movie. But there's story within it. Just the whole backdrop of revenge and satisfaction.
It's like the last 30 minutes of Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah, but
just torturing a cop.
It is. It's
so messed up.
It is as intense as that. But I'm
and they do
say,
flashbacks actually during that too. It sounds like a lot like Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah, but I'm going to say it's just as intense as Reservoir Dogs and or Silence of the Lambs. It's on that level of filmmaking.
Well, Silence of the Lambs wasn't even violent. It was just so goddamn psychological.
Yeah. Well, this is too. But it also there's some satisfaction on revenge.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So but yeah, if you get a chance, see I saw the devil. But when I was watching the trailer, I watched the trailer before I got here. I just got totally stoked for Old Boy. Just I'm curious to see what direction Spike Lee is going to go into.
No, I'm with you on that. Like, because I'm pretty well versed in his style at this point, and I sort of know what he's got, what he usually plays with. So, I'm really down to see like how he can take this on. Because, you know, and if he does, maybe, you know, I'll recant a lot of the stuff I didn't like about him, like when he was calling Clint Eastwood racist and stuff. You know.
Have you seen the trailer?
Yeah. No, I saw the trailer like a week ago or something. I went to see like Insidious 2. It was so fucking bad. But like the trailer,
the first one was
they
good.
They showed the trailer of Oldboy, and I was just like, "That's what I came here to see. That's what I wanted to see."
Let's take a quick look at it.
Yeah. Okay.
Fuck is the phone? Hello? Hello? Hey, tell me why I'm in here. Look at me. No.
Get that heart rate. The body of Donna Hawthorne was discovered. The prime suspect, Joseph Doucette, the victim's former husband and father of the surviving child.
Your father has been missing for 20 years. If I could somehow bring him here, do you think you could forgive him?
I could try.
What happened to him?
He showed up last night.
I need your help, Chucky.
I haven't seen the guy in like 20 years.
Who are you?
If you were trying to find your daughter and clear your name, I could help you.
If you would like to see your daughter alive again, answer two questions. One, why did I imprison you for 20 years? And two, why did I let you go?
You to go.
I don't have a choice. And whoever you are, I will find you.
I only run this place, all right?
Shit, you might want to think about what you're doing here.
I've been thinking about it for the last 20 years.
All right, so you got Samuel L. Jackson in it.
Yeah, you do. He's in everything. Like, yeah. I think I saw three trailers of him in movies coming up.
Yeah, so you got Sam Jackson, Josh Brolin, you got Spike Lee at the helm, which, as we agree, I think we're in agreement that Spike Lee has the ability to make some grade-A films.
He's one of the most competent directors. I think he doesn't choose good stories.
But has he not?
Usually,
really?
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. He's got a track record. He's got Do the Right Thing.
Yeah,
all right.
But that's like going back 20, 30 years almost.
Wait.
Yeah. I'm
saying it's a lot. He got Mo Better Blues.
That's good too.
God,
yeah.
Damn.
I remember that.
Damn. He's got what was the one with Mekhi Phifer? Damn it, I can't remember it.
Mekhi Phifer.
God, it was good. Mekhi Phifer, man. I wanted him to blow up. I haven't seen much of him lately.
Dropped off the face of the earth, man.
Well, I'm thinking he did Malcolm X.
I
watched that the other night.
I would say that's my favorite.
I watched that the other night.
Easily my favorite movie.
I was glued. I was channel surfing, and it was one of those. Malcolm X is one of those films.
I think he won like a. There were a shit ton of Oscars for that too, like best actor, best. Was that best? No, I guess it couldn't have been because I don't think Denzel won anything.
No.
It should have been.
Should
have fucking
won.
That should have been the first black man to win best actor.
The first black man. What the fuck?
What? I'm interested in that shit, man.
Malcolm X, you're right, though.
Shows how far we come.
That's right. Malcolm X should have won Best Actor, Malcolm X. Denzel Washington should have won for Malcolm X, but he didn't. He won it for Training Day. But the film itself, it's one of those films when I'm channel surfing, much like JFK or if I see Back to the Future or something like that. I've got to, you know, Godfather if I'm channel surfing, Jaws. I got to watch it. You know, if I'm leaving the house, if I'm going out to meet someone and that's on, it's the law. It's the rule.
I like that JFK is on that list, though. I remember as a kid, I used to try and watch that movie. If it was on like a basic cable or like UPN or whatever, and
it's
like my
so
dad,
many great
my dad
scenes.
Would want to fucking throw like a chair at the TV, saying like, "What is this conspiracy trash?" And I'd just be like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa! Kevin Bacon knows what he's talking about." That's what I had to tell him.
It doesn't matter. There's so many great scenes in that film that, and another one, is
Kevin
portable.
Bacon's speech in general, is just,
all of them, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you get Tommy Lee Jones up in there
with
the white afro. I mean, how classic is that? Huh?
Yeah. That movie is just amazing.
Remember they had Kevin Bacon dressed up and they were like in gold and they had the wings on. They were having like a man party.
No. Huh? Like, I don't watch many Oliver Stone movies, so I could say that's probably what I like most about him. But that he was a very weird director.
So, yeah, when I was channel surfing, Malcolm X came on and I watched it. And I was just, you know, it's scene after scene after scene. It's an incredible film. So Spike Lee, his track record, you know, it's even the one you didn't like, which I did like.
I know.
The 25th Hour.
Listen, and I'm a big fan of Ed Norton, too, so I just it didn't click with me at all. Mm. Who was the female lead in that one?
Which one?
In 25th Hour.
I don't know. I'll have to look it up. You got a phone?
I got a phone. All right.
Shit up while I'm looking up Mekhi Phifer, because I want to know about
Mekhi
Phifer.
I want to know shit about Mekhi Phifer. I don't care.
Man, Clockers. That's what it was. He did Clockers.
Mekhi Phifer?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Clockers,
I don't remember that movie.
A young drug pusher in the projects of Brooklyn live hard, dangerous lives, trapped between their drug bosses. Yeah, that was a good one. It's Harvey Keitel.
Rosario Dawson.
Listen to this, man.
I'm fucking trying to look at
Oh, she's
No, she's
hot.
So hot. That, yeah.
Let me tell you.
I knew it.
Yeah. Good God. But let me finish with Clockers.
She was pretty hot in that one, too. There was like a scene where she was in a bathtub or something.
Hold that thought,
all right.
Brandon. Hold that thought. I'm pointing in his face. You have in Clockers, you got Harvey Keitel, John Turturro,
right.
Delroy Lindo.
I don't remember
you
who
know
that
Delroy
is.
Lindo. Delroy Lindo, the brother from Get Shorty.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I never knew his name because he doesn't do a whole lot.
Yeah. Mekhi Phifer. Got Isaiah Washington. Didn't he get kicked off of ER or some shit? Remember?
He disappeared.
Said something about the Jewish man.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
I watched ER a lot.
Oh,
and
no,
I remember
no, no,
him
no.
On it.
Maybe it wasn't. I think he said something about Jewish people, and he said something about gays, and they were like, "You got to go."
I might have been too young for that because I watched ER religiously, and I don't remember that
it was
commentary.
Something to that. I could be wrong. It could have been one or the other, but whatever he said, you know what I mean. He tested the boundaries, and he got up short, got called short. So he got the boot, lost a good gig.
Good man.
And then we were talking about him. So let's get back.
What were we talking about,
Spike
Lee?
To this little treat. No, the Rosario Dawson.
Oh, man. Clerks 2? She's so hot. Mm-hmm. Oh, not even. Sin City. She does a lot of good stuff.
She recently did a film.
I can't think of many things that I really hated her in. And she just doesn't get a lot of work.
She wasn't my top Spaniard at first. But
Spaniard? You're gonna
Brandon's just licked off to the clouds as I said.
I don't
that.
Know what you're even talking about, know, right? Spaniard. Why do you got to bring up somebody you know at the background?
I have to, man, because right. she's creme de la creme.
I'm just fucking with you because you were like trying to give me some shit.
Because at first I thought you know my top Spaniards might have been Selma Hayek. you got
she actually
Eva Mendez. I like her a lot. But then I saw
a lot of Hispanic women end up in Kevin Smith movies.
Listen, I saw Rosario Dawson in a film by the guy that did what's his name? This guy right here,
Pedro Almodovar.
Trance. No, he did this movie with James McAvoy called Trance. Yeah,
that sounds really familiar.
Yeah, it's the
what was it about?
It's about a caper. It's like a crime caper where someone steals a valuable painting. I don't know what it is, you know. Fucking, who
that
knows?
Sounds like
who knows
so goddamn familiar.
But the guy that took the painting was James McAvoy, and he got hit in his head during the caper, so he didn't know where he put it, so he had to get put under a trance.
Ugh.
Played by a hypnotherapist, Rosario Dawson, but there's a scene in there where it's full frontal. You see the whole shebang.
She likes to show it off.
And
that's good.
Yeah,
good. That's good
cinema. The film itself is directed by Danny Boyle. You
know, yeah, that's weird.
Sick movie.
That is really weird.
Insane. The movie's so good, and it has Danny Boyle, as you guys know, is some of his movies, Slumdog Millionaire. He's done. One of my favorites he did with Leonardo DiCaprio, The Beach, which is underrated.
Is that really one of your favorite movies? Yeah, that is. I think that might have won some Razzies. That is one of the worst-rated movies, I believe, out there.
The only reason that he's done, and I've said this on a podcast,
The Man in the Iron Mask might be worse-rated.
No, yeah, rated, but the film itself is incredible. I guarantee you.
I've seen it. I've seen it 3 or 4 times, and it was on like HBO or something.
The reason why he got panned was because DiCaprio was just coming off of Titanic, and this was his follow-up film. And he snubbed his nose at Hollywood, all the Hollywood producers, and didn't take the pretty boy action role, you know, action
It was
roles
sort of a
presented.
Pretty boy thing. It was like a horror movie.
No.
It was like a bunch of people on a beach, and it was
movie.
Conspiracy.
It was poetic.
No, it was not.
It was a poetic film.
It was not. It was like a horror movie.
What were they being chased by?
Wasn't that the one where they were all on the beach together, and they were like running from like this weird like group of people that are trying to kill them? I'm pretty sure that was The Beaches, man.
It's the wrong movie.
Thinking of the wrong movie.
No, they were on the beach, no doubt. And there were people on the beach, but they were running from society and all the traps of society. You know, money, greed, power.
I remember
all
like
that
a
stuff.
Cultish.
And they built their they had their own society that built.
It was a horror movie.
Well, you like money and greed and power and all that stuff.
Yeah, man. That's why Brewster's Millions is my favorite movie.
But back to Trance. So Rosario Dawson's in that. Oh, man, they show her. There's a scene where she's walking. Look, she comes into the movie, and there's a scene where she's with James McAvoy. And McAvoy comes into the room, and he gets on his knees, right? And he's on his knees, and he's clearly into her. And it's a very passionate scene. And as while he's on his knees, he looks up at her, and she goes, "Wait," right?
Yeah, I love Rosario. Yeah.
She goes, "Wait," and she goes walking into the bathroom, okay? And then she comes out, and it's all blurred, and she's walking slow, and Danny Boyle in his style is playing the music, and it starts out soft, and then it builds up, and it builds up, and as the music is building, she starts to come into focus, and as she comes into focus, she's stripped down, nude, clean shaven the whole nine. It is a gorgeous scene. Not pornographic at all, but just a very sensual scene. And then she looks up while I believe he's still on his knees, and she says, "I know how you like it." So she went in the bathroom and shaved for him because he is into, part of his character is into, like, there's I guess there's a style of art that shows the purity of man where everyone is shaven. I guess it's some
that's symbolism.
That's
kind of nasty. Yeah.
But she went to the bathroom, shaved completely for him, came back out, showed the whole shebang, hit a home run with Malcolm, and the rest is history. Great movie, Trance,
I'll have to check that out.
Danny Boyle.
But no, yeah, the beach was exactly what I remembered. It was a bunch of kids go to find the secret society on the beach, and then I think they want to leave or something, and then the dudes want to kill them. It was a fucking horror movie in my mind.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Well, that's just the way you perceived it because you weren't mature enough at
the
time.
The dudes were killing them. They were trying to kill them.
Yeah, but you need
they were
you
scary.
Need to, what you need to do is listen.
Maybe it was a thriller.
That's because they stole the weed or something.
I thought they were trying to leave.
Nah, they stole something.
DiCaprio did something bad, and they wanted to kill him.
But if you listen to the script, if you listen to the words. Of the voiceover done by the narration done by DiCaprio. I mean, it resonates today, what's going on in today's society.
All right, man.
So that's the parallels.
I just don't want to be murdered by a bunch of hippies on a beach.
That one's always stuck with me. And Danny Boyle also did a great horror film. Didn't he do like 28 Days Later?
Did he do that one? Did he do the other one?
Yeah, 28 Days Later. Okay. He was ahead.
I always
forget
which one was first, like the weeks or the days.
Danny Boyle was ahead of the zombie curve. But he was doing
The Resident Evil ones had like 3 or 4 out by
it's
then.
Bullshit movies.
I'm just saying. Well, they were fun, goofy movies.
Yeah, but when you think of zombie movies, you don't think of Resident Evil.
You know, you think
you know
of George
mean?
Romero.
You think of Dawn of the Dead.
You think of George Romero.
Well, let me get to it. Let me interrupt you
with the answer.
I haven't had a good jousting partner on the podcast in a while now. I'm glad.
You don't fight with Miriam?
No, Miriam listens to me rant and rave, and
I will not let you do that.
Love. I tried to get Miriam to come today, but she had to work at the wine shop at like 4 o'clock. So
no, I
gotcha. that wasn't going down. Danny Boyle did 127 hours.
I never saw that one with James Franco. Was that worth it? So did they do cutaways? Is it always
you
just him?
You need to watch it, man.
Was it just him in the desert?
Well, he had to drink his own piss. Oh,
remember,
he was fucked.
I remember this when the story hit and I was in high school and we used to joke about it. Like, would you saw your arm off? Oh, I'm the kid with the arm.
Yeah.
We used to make fun of it. And it was like, oh, that's an actual dude.
He was screwed. He did Millions. He did Sunshine.
Eternal Sunshine? What do you mean Sunshine? Oh, wait.
Sunshine.
I was going to say that's a Richard Linklater movie, but that's Sunrise.
Sunshine was about a team of astronauts that are sent to reignite the dying sun.
I do remember that.
50 years into the future, and it stars none other than the coolest of cool, Cillian Murphy.
That was really good.
Played the Scarecrow.
That one
did
not like get love from the critics, though. I liked it a lot. You know what else? Didn't he do the one where everyone went blind?
What about the critics?
What was the one where everyone went blind?
I don't know.
I think he did one. Like, was that Shine? I don't
know. Oh, your boy's in it.
What?
Which guy right here? He was in The Last Samurai. He's a famous actor.
Hiroyuki Sanada? Yeah, I mean, he's okay. Ken Watanabe is more famous.
He's
in one of my favorite Japanese dramas, Ikebukuro Westgate Park. You ever seen that one?
No.
He plays a police commissioner
who's trying to
get some stupid truants in the school.
There's some good Japanese cinema out there, huh?
Japanese cinema, Japanese television, man. I'm all up in there.
I've never seen Japanese TV, but the cinema, I think it was 16 Samurai. Was that a Japanese film?
That was not a Japanese film. Oh, are you talking about Seven Samurai? Or are you talking about 47 Ronin?
All of them.
Well, 47 Ronin was, I think it was a Mizoguchi film. That was a long time ago, in like the 40s or something. It might have been a silent film, actually. It's been a long time since I watched a lot of those. But I know Keanu Reeves wants to remake it as like a sci-fi thriller. I think we talked about that already.
That's the Keanu Reeves that's coming out.
Yeah. It's a classic story, but like they're going to retell it again and again forever.
No, there's one called 13 Assassins.
Oh.
That's the one I was thinking of, 13 Assassins.
Yeah, that's a good movie.
That's Japanese, right?
Yeah,
badass movie. You know what I like about the Japanese films?
Takayuki Yamada, man.
I like the language. You know, I don't like voice. You know, when they
it's a beautiful language.
It's
very simple
on film. It's just beautiful. Like you can feel the passion. You can feel the anger.
So a lot of stuff in that language is inferred. So it makes it a very succinct language. Like you don't have to talk about direct objects. You don't have to say a person's name. You infer a lot of it, and it's kind of beautiful in that way, man. I love that language. Chinese is just guttural and tonal. It's awful. I hate that language. I'm very judgmental about languages.
Yeah, but it's the language itself is, it's not all just Chinese, Mandarin, or it's...
I'm talking more like Cantonese Mandarin.
Yeah, Cantonese,
like the others,
and Mandarin.
Yeah, I know there's like a lot... It's
like Italians separated like that. Like you have the Northern Italian, then you have
the Sicilian dialect. The main ethnicity, the Han, are basically what I'm talking about language-wise. But there's like hundreds of ethnicities in China that all sound different. So I'm not trying to pigeonhole any Chinese if you're listening.
Yeah, don't do that. I don't need I don't need a billion people after us. But
you know what's really cool is the Mongolians. They had like a set of laws that they would sing. Their laws were singable.
There's a podcast about the Mongolian, empire? I guess the empire.
Well, it's really just like they have a pretty big country, but there's only really one big city now.
Yeah.
Everybody lives in it.
The Mongol Empire, the Khan is a podcast called Hardcore History.
Genghis Khan was a badass. He was actually a monster.
Do you know this podcast?
Wrath of Khans 4?
No, that's just the episode.
No, I never heard of that, no.
Jesus Christ. Dan Carlin's Hardcore History.
Oh, okay.
It's supposed to be an amazing podcast. I've listened to a couple episodes.
I'd listen to that. I love history.
Yeah, you should listen to it. Actually, Joe Rogan turned me on to this. I listened to the Joe Rogan podcast.
I don't really pay much attention to Joe Rogan.
Yeah, but there's certain episodes that he'll have guests like this guy on, and his podcast. I think you would love this podcast.
I'll check it out,
Dan
man.
Carlin's Hardcore
History. Hardcore History.
Yeah, the guy gets into it deep. I listen to it when I'm in the gym. I mean, it's he gets into it. He drops science, mad science.
Yeah,
yeah. I think you're gonna love this podcast. Why are we talking about history and
I don't know.
Shit?
I don't remember how that happened.
Mongols.
Oh, because we were just talking about Asian languages. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, never seen TV though. Japanese TV.
Japanese TV. It's good. It's very simple. Usually, each TV show will be 11 episodes, and you'll have a hero or heroine. And then you'll have the villain, and then you'll have the person that they're supposed to fall in love with, and it's very difficult for them to fall in love with them for some stupid reason or another. Like the
family, one
family's
rich. Their season is 11 episodes.
Yes.
Yeah. It's
and sometimes a Christmas special or something, And if they're lucky, they get renewed for a second season, but that's incredibly rare. They usually, like, one season's a self-contained story, and that's it. And you never go back to that story again. And I like that.
Speaking of episodes, you've been you're caught up on Breaking Bad?
You bet your ass I am. Are we gonna we gonna break down Breaking Bad?
Nah,
right now?
Not
no, we're not gonna do that.
Nah, everyone's doing that.
That's true.
It's a good show.
It's one of the few shows that gets better every episode.
For you not to know where it's going, you know, it's amazing that people don't know what's going to happen to this guy. I mean, he's a classic, you know, piece of shit, and he's definitely dropped. I think the episode or the show should have ended with the season with Gus. I think it should have ended then.
I believe that they really have an idea where they wanted to go.
Well, I mean,
even before
where it's going
that.
Now. I mean, this dude's basically no different than like a dictator, like any dictator throughout the world in real life. You know, where they're on the run and they have nowhere to go. They're trying to run with their gold or whatever they can pick up. We know how this story's going to end. It's not going to end well. And anyone that likes this guy or is rooting for this guy, I mean, he's gone. He's done. He's done.
Yeah.
Like, you can't like this. There's nothing. It's not like he's, you know, Tony Soprano or any of the other classic. You know, this guy.
Well, Tony Soprano's dead. In my mind, I believe he got killed.
Yeah. No. Oh, the final episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never bought that.
Dude was probably hiding a gun in the napkin dispenser.
But he's just made one mistake after one mistake, and I mean, that's, you know,
smart guys do dumb shit.
Yeah.
And that's the moral.
Yeah, it's fucked up. Fucked up.
Are you watching any other like new things out, like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or The Blacklist?
I have no desire to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I got you. You don't seem like a Joss Whedon guy.
What am I gonna do?
You're not gonna do anything with that.
Yeah,
you got
it's
no
too
look.
Cartoony, man.
Yeah, you can't do the Joss Whedon. You can't do the Buffy or the Firefly.
Yeah,
you just won't. I don't think your mind is into that. You can't open your child.
No, I can, but it's just my mind. I don't have a lot of room for foolishness, nor do I have a lot of time to actually invest in new shows.
Mm.
You know, I watch the basic stuff. I enjoy Boardwalk Empire, so this season is phenomenal.
Do you watch? I figure you would watch Luther, right?
I tried Idris in there,
your boy from The Wire.
Yeah, I tried watching an episode. I haven't got into it. But like I said, it's hard for me to welcome any new shows.
I got you. I figured that one would be like on your list of high priorities, though, just because of who's starring in it.
Nah, not at all. It's meat and potatoes, dude. Meat and potatoes. Man.
I don't know what that
meat
means.
Meat and potatoes.
I don't know what meat and potatoes is.
I like the basics. All this new. Every time you look up, there's a new show.
Golden Age, man.
I just downloaded.
You,
look,
it's
I just
golden.
I just downloaded a new app called.
You got,
like,
466 podcasts queued up.
I listen to, yeah, I love podcasts. I downloaded an app, cable television app, right? And I tapped through it yesterday, and there's so many television shows on.
Yeah.
Like, you can just pick.
Yeah.
Now, I do like getting my 30-minute or 45-minute hour fix and, you know, moving on to the next thing so I don't have to invest 2 or 3 hours at night.
Are we not entertained, man? Are we not in an
but it's
entertained
so much stuff. Like,
society?
You talk about Agents of the S.H.I.E.L.D. and Green Arrow and all this stuff. I mean, they're subpar at best. They're not groundbreaking. It's not groundbreaking material.
I wasn't calling them groundbreaking.
Like the
Blacklist is pretty groundbreaking, though. James Spader's good all the time.
Oh, yeah, I heard.
I love
yeah.
James Spader.
Yeah, yeah. I heard.
I never said Agents of the S.H.I.E.L.D. was amazing.
Did you see it?
Yeah.
I heard it was bad.
It was mediocre. It wasn't terrible.
Yeah. So I'm not going to waste my time. That's time I can't get back.
Well,
and my time is very valuable
these
days.
I think you can watch a pilot episode, man.
I can't,
okay,
man.
All right.
It's just so much. I don't have enough time
right
now.
I usually give shows a pilot episode. That's what I do.
Yeah, the pilot's usually not the greatest. Sometimes
it
takes.
It depends. Sometimes they pour a shit ton of money in it, and it's like a $1 million pilot, and sometimes they don't. I agree.
But that's why a lot of pilots fail, is because these executives push all this money into it, and they have such high expectations.
Yeah.
Look at Seinfeld. Seinfeld didn't catch on until, a couple few seasons into it.
I don't even remember Seinfeld growing up.
I
think my first memory of watching Seinfeld was that I was in, like, sixth grade, and it only had a few seasons left.
What you have to do is let the art do its work. Don't put expectations if you invest $100 million on a pilot. Don't do that. Create it. If it's well written, it's going to catch on. When you have well written material and well acted material, people will find it.
With the internet now, thank God, because network TV's killed so much creativity.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's so many shows.
I mean, it's you know, premium cable and the internet is the only way that TV shows are going to survive now.
Yeah, you're right.
And even premium cable is kind of bullshit because you have to pay for premium cable, and that's stupid.
Right now, I'm really into Boardwalk Empire.
One day, when it's all done, maybe I'll sit down and watch it. That's what I usually do.
Well, like I said, I enjoy that era, that, you know, the 20s and 30s, and
believe me,
everything,
man.
leading up, you know, to Prohibition, yeah. Post-Prohibition.
A lady friend of mine used to live right next door to the church where Capone got married in Brooklyn, and I would every time I would visit her, I would just walk by that church and just stare at it and, like, kind of imagine, like, that fucking time. Because it looks like a really old church. Like, it's kind of got a big statue of, like, an angel in front of it.
Capone, yeah. I'm just...
He was, like, 16 years old when we got married.
I have, you know, I have toyed with writing a script about Capone and just... I mean...
But it's tough.
Just watching Boardwalk Empire alone, though. I mean, look at your cast.
Well, you have Boardwalk Empire. You have the Untouchables. You have... There's so much... of him in so many movies already. It's tough.
Well, you got,
it's hard to beat the Untouchables, man.
Yeah. De Niro did a good job playing Capone.
So goddamn.
But you know who I'd pick to play Capone?
Who?
Fuck, I can't remember his name.
Joe Pesci.
No.
Because he talked like this.
No. What's
the high pitch.
What's the guy's name?
You looking at me?
I don't know.
You talking to me?
But I tell you, with Boardwalk Empire, you have Michael Shannon. He's in that?
No, it's an all-star cast. I saw this season, and it looked pretty gangster. There's like a lot of gangster shit going on.
And you got Michael K. Williams. He plays like he was in The Wire.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah,
he was.
So he runs the hood. You know what I mean?
You're not even watching Tremé, are you?
No.
All right.
What's that?
That was the sort of spiritual thing to the sequel to The Wire, man.
That's down in like Louisiana.
Yeah, it's like New Orleans. A lot of Dixieland music. It's good shit. It's so good.
The guy I was thinking about to play who I would pick to play Capone, but he's older now. Because you have to understand, Capone, Meyer Lansky, Charlie Lucky Luciano, these guys started running things when they were in their teens and early 20s.
I know.
So when shit was going down, they were young
men.
They
started their family. Their family, man.
In a lot of ways, they were kids. And so to have this person play him now might be a little tough, but there are two people who I'd pick to play Capone, and this is one of them.
Bugsy Malone.
His name is Paul Giamatti. I think he would be. Yeah, you laugh.
No. He's done some serious shit. American Splendor is a pretty serious movie.
He can do some psychotic shit. His facial expressions. He's very animated.
Shoot him up. Yep. You've seen Shoot him up, right? Yeah. That he's very animated in there.
I would love to see Paul Giamatti cast as Capone, but he's a little old now. And then the other one
was Ethan Hawke too. I don't remember who was in that movie. I'm still thinking about Shoot him up.
What's that?
Who was the dude in Shoot 'Em Up?
I don't know. I don't know if I've ever seen it.
Paul Giamatti plays like this weird like killer of some kind. There's really no story to it, but it's a good character.
That's the other guy I would have play him.
Colin Farrell?
Yep.
No, I can't. Yep. I just can't agree.
The reason why I would pick him.
He's so bad in so many things.
Listen, the reason why he's just as intense of an actor.
No, he just squints a lot.
But yes, again. With the facial features and his animated look, have him pack on about 30 or 40 pounds, bald his hair.
He's a less talented Josh Brolin, if we were to bring it back.
Josh Brolin is talented, man.
No, I'm saying he has the facial expression of Josh Brolin, but he can't act at all, and Josh Brolin can't. That was my point. Colin Farrell's terrible. Haven't you seen Phone Booth, man? Have you seen Phone Booth?
Yeah, but those are the whack movies.
Those are the movies he did.
Have you seen In Bruges? I think that's how you pronounce it.
In Bruges. Yeah, I've seen that. That was pretty fun. That was a fun movie.
Great film.
It wasn't fun because of him, though. I don't know.
Yeah, but it's a team. It's a team effort.
Yeah, it was an ensemble thing, and you know, I wouldn't say he was terrible, but it didn't make it because of him, though.
I mean, he wasn't. He definitely wasn't good in what was the remake, Total Recall.
He was
good in Seven Psychopaths. Like that.
I like that.
He was phenomenal in Fright Night. Fright Night, he was the shit.
That's another like cult classic kind of.
He's been in a bunch of these. When he does these little bit parts where he's not trying to take on the lead. Like Crazy Heart?
I liked Crazy Heart. But again, I guess I agree with you in that he can do bit parts, and I ignore him, and he's fine. When he stars in a movie, I can't stand when he stars in a movie.
Certain people have tried to make him like the next.
Yeah, and I think the phone booth was just it for me. Like, as soon as I saw him in that, I was like, no, yeah, I can't deal with this.
You can't do that. No. He's got to, if you surround him with a supporting cast, he does well.
Yeah, when you have weaker actors like that, like Matt Fox, they tried to put in starring roles in movies, and he was terrible. Mm. The dude from Lost. Remember he did that Secret Service movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. You're starting even to drone
him,
off,
even
man.
Him, he's not even good. Matthew
no, he's not.
Fox,
he I'm saying yeah, he's not yeah, good. No. Like, I liked him in Lost, and that was it. Oh, and I also liked him in, was it Party of Five? Remember that show?
Never seen it before in my life. Why would I even watch that
I
show,
don't know.
Man?
I don't know why you would see
again,
that.
Again, these are valuable moments.
What the hell is Party of Five? I don't even know.
These are valuable moments that I'll never get back if I invest time in the show like that. Like, what is... I don't even know. No idea. People
like,
ask me...
It was
like,
one of those dramas back in the day, like Dawson's Creek. They were all in that same kind of... Yeah.
Never seen it. Don't even know.
90210. They're like those like teenage dramas.
I did watch 90210 in the beginning.
Oh, fuck you, but, man. You know why 90210 existed? Because the dude who made it, Tori Spelling's father, couldn't buy the rights to Degrassi. So he's like, I'm going to make my own with older actors that can't possibly do anything. It's a terrible show.
I don't know.
I'm going to put Tori Spelling in it, even though she can't act.
I don't know. I don't know.
I know.
I don't know about these TV shows.
I'm a hater.
They're just there's so much out there, and I'm
just telling you, it's the golden age. I'm not saying you got to watch everything. I'm just saying don't write off everything.
It's not
either.
Really the golden age. The golden age already came and went.
Oh yeah, because people were really breaking down episodes of Leave It to Beaver.
You know, that's not really. That might be the golden. I wouldn't even know how to define the golden age.
I think lots of serious drama. I think lots of good comedy. Like every genre that I want, filled, good sci-fi, is filled. Unfortunately, there is still a lot of bad stuff. Reality TV has started to take over everything, too.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if it's the golden age. I think it's an age of...
It's a golden age.
I think it's the age of the dam has exploded, and every brick is gone, and everything and anything is coming through. You
like
know what I mean?
On channels like AMC or USA or HBO, like creative has been allowed to do whatever the hell they want, and that's amazing.
Like I'm sure I'll
could never have imagined that on network TV.
Like I don't see any. I don't even know because I just don't watch it. So, but like long gone are the days of the good family.
Netflix, man. All that original shit on Netflix is so good.
There's good stuff. Yeah, there's this Orange Is the New Black. Yeah. I haven't watched that. But everyone,
you know
I
what?
Know.
Don't watch anything. I'll just tell you if it's good.
All
or not.
The hipsters, you guys are all coming up. Oh, you got to watch this. You got
to.
You know.
Apparently, I can't tell you to watch anything. No, so instead, I'm just going to explain to you what's good.
You have actually turned me on to a couple few things, but it's just a time issue. Trying to manage time and see if it's worth my time and effort. Mm. You know,
I just do it. You know, while I unwind before I go to sleep. It's easy. It's not hard.
Yeah, that's all I need is a quick fix, like a 45-minute to an hour fix. I like Homeland. Yep. I just started watching Homeland Part 2.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Claire
Danes.
Good series. Yeah, she's back. I'm a little late.
She's pulled out an Emmy for that, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, she's good. But, I mean, like I said before, we've seen it. It's 24. Now
it's 24, but like way higher production.
Well, they got titties in it. It's boobs.
I don't think that's really the deal.
That's always
the
deal.
I mean, you can think that's the deal.
That's always the deal.
But that just means you have no idea what's going on in this show, man.
That's always the deal.
It's got the dude... From Band of Brothers.
He's good.
Oh, my God, he's good.
He is good.
He's
You're
so
right.
good. I know you didn't watch Band of Brothers, but you got at least respect. Oh, you did watch.
Yeah.
Okay.
Band of Brothers is great.
Oh, no, I think it was Bailey. I couldn't explain Band of Brothers to
him. Yeah. No, I've got it. I got the whole DVD box set.
Mm. Yeah. Just that kind of war drama is so good. And I think Homeland kind of captures that a little bit in my mind.
That was coming off the heels of Saving Private Ryan.
It was. It was almost supposed to be it was produced by Spielberg, I think.
And Hanks.
And Tom Hanks, who's done a lot of good production. Like, he did the From the Earth to the Moon, which is amazing. God, Tom Hanks is a genius.
He's got a new movie coming out that looks pretty sick.
So, yeah, do you know a lot about this movie? Because it's the one Captain Phillips or something? Or what is that?
Keep talking. God damn.
I'm trying to... you show me something.
I was showing you the time because I got to go, but you don't got to you don't got to announce it. Jesus, keep going.
No, I thought you were trying to show me a picture because we were talking about the movie.
No.
I don't know why you did that.
What were you talking about, B?
So, I think it's called Captain Phillips or something. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
It's a dead man. Do you know what the name was? See, I don't know. You're not helping.
Ooh,
Tom
Hanks?
Yeah. It's Captain Something is the name of the movie. And it's basically about the Somali pirates who took the American shipping boat hostage. It is called Captain Phillips. I can't believe I got that right because I've only seen the trailer once so far.
It looks intense.
It looks really intense. Are those Somali actors? Or did they get real just Somali people that were pirates? Or what is going on? Because clearly those are not real actors, the people who have kidnapped him.
It looks real.
It reminds me of some older films where there's French cinema. They would get real people to play the parts.
There's a film. Damn it, I can't remember it.
They would get a construction worker to play a construction worker. You know what I mean?
I got podcast-itis right now. But we showed a film at the Washington West Film Festival last year.
Mm-hmm.
It was a short film.
Good plug.
About the same storyline about pirates from
Somalia. Yeah.
Yes, going to. Invade a ship, to take over a ship.
Yeah.
And it's a short film. And when I first saw this trailer, it's as if they saw this film and decided to make a big budget of it.
I'm sure there was always a movie plan like this, though. I mean, it's probably been swimming around in Hollywood since the story happened. And basically the idea is, and we all kind of know the ending, essentially, which was the Americans get captured, the captain gets pulled back to Somalia on the beach, and they're holding him ransom, and U.S. Navy SEALs come in, and these are Navy SEALs. These are the best of the best. They
the
pull out their
deal.
Sniper rifles, and they blow every single Somalian away. They kill them all. And basically, it's so depressing because it's sort of like, what the fuck are they going to do? They have no money. They have no food. They do this, but it's terrible they do this because they're hurting our own people. It's disgusting, but then you see them all killed and you feel bad for them. It's very confusing, you know? It's one of those very morally confusing, stories.
Yeah, it looks like an amazing... I mean, just the trailer itself. Yeah.
You know they're all going to die and they all seem so sad and depressing.
Yeah. I'm trying to find the name of that film because if you see it...
The name from the one from Washington West?
Oh, yeah. Man, I'm telling you, it looks just like the same one, man. In my...
Can you give me a copy of that? You going to give me a copy of that one?
I think it's called Fishing with Nets or something.
Hmm.
Fishing...
Was that premiered here or was that going around all the festivals? Could we find it? Get a release?
I can't figure it out and I don't have the time, people.
Oh, okay.
I'll tell you what I'll do.
You should have made a list.
Fishing Without Nets is the name of the movie.
Okay.
Is it?
Put some links up to it, man.
Yeah, here it is. Fishing Without Nets came out. It's a short film, 2012. It premiered at our film festival, a film festival that I volunteer for. And it's a story of pirates in Somalia told from the perspective of the people.
Yeah.
So, and it is intense, and it leaves you as a cliffhanger. It shows the native people. It's like a story of either a brother, two brothers, and one of them gets lured in to get suckered into helping the pirates, or they make him recruit him. They recruit him, and the long and short of the film is it shows. You know, I'm watching the film and I'm like, wow, how did they get someone to film this? Because it's set up like a documentary, and it's showing every step, them getting the people, them getting on the little fishing boat. They're going, they've got AK-47s, and they're getting right up there to the side of the boat, and it ends. It's a cliffhanger. And you, when you see this film, you just want more. You just want more. It's one of those films that is well done, again, well written, well thought out, and it leaves you hungry for more. And,
and it brings up an important social kind of world issue.
Amazing.
And I think that's always important to do.
Brandon, I gotta run. I gotta cut this short.
Yeah, no, I'm in.
I got things to do. All right.
You're a busy man.
I appreciate you coming out.
I'm going to go play Grand Theft Auto. And
look at that. $1 billion.
Not do any work.
They're killing it with that, man.
Maybe
killing
right
it. They're just selling copies after copies. I might have to get it.
It's like, you play video games? I never imagined. Never imagined. You should get it for your son.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see. So with that, Brandon, I appreciate you coming out.
It was good. It's good to be here. I like talking cinema with you, man.
We'll be back. I like jousting with you.
I don't like excuses for why you don't watch stuff because of time, but
it is
like,
time. My time is about to free.
I don't respect
Jesus,
your time.
Let me get a word in. my time is about to free up in many ways, and I'll fill you in on that in the near future. So, folks, thanks for tuning in. I appreciate all the feedback. Keep it coming, and Brandon, I'll see you next time. Close this out.
Domino, motherfucker.
We passed up on the stair. We spoke of wars and when, although I wasn't there, he said I was his friend, which came as some surprise. I spoke into his eyes, I thought you died.